Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift of children. We thank you for speaking through them to us, for being your voice. And we ask now that your Holy Spirit speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as a teacher and as a pastor, it's always been a passion of mine to see people grow and to transform. Especially when people concentrate on the relationship with God, looking at life from God's perspective and seeing what He desires. A believer's life should be focused on using their special gifts, their special talents, to meet specific needs in a person's life. Christians understand that this submission to the needs of others is service towards God, and in no way earns them into heaven. Instead, it is a result of their relationship with a Savior who entered the world and who did what they could never do for themselves. Their lives focus on following Christ and a faith that is different from all other religions in two specific ways. The first way is Christianity is the only religion in which God desires a personal relationship with His people. It's not just about prophets who receive valuable insights for us. It's about a Father who sent His Son, Jesus, to have a personal relationship with us and to teach us a new way, one that was completely counterculture to the world, and who did what they could never do for themselves. Their lives focus, Christianity, number two, is the only religion that doesn't rely on what we do to earn our way to eternal life. This completely changes our relationship with God and with others. It meets the needs of others because of gratitude, not one of payment. So there's three people I want to talk to you briefly about today. Three people who recently have showed me how they use their gifts to bring glory to God. The first one is our son. We have been gone for the last 2 weeks. We went to Germany to visit our son, Jared, who has been gone now almost 6 months. And he could have simply have had a visit with us for 11 days, staying with the people that he's an au pair with. But instead, he talked to the family, and he said he would like to do an early, a late Mother's Day and an early Father's Day gift to us. So he planned a trip where we would spend time with each other, but we would see various parts of Germany, of Prague, and Paris, France. So he used his gifts of leadership, his gifts of planning, to put together just a wonderful trip for us. A very tiring trip for us, but nevertheless, a wonderful one. The second person is a good friend of mine, Deva. Deva is actually my unofficially adopted Indian son. And Deva is just recently graduated from the University of Michigan, Dearborn. And he has a job at General Motors, got a great job. And one of the things that I have noticed when we were talking this week is that more and more of what many of the international students call their juniors, or not necessarily those that are younger in age, but those that are still going through their master's degree. And these juniors come to Deva for various reasons. One girl came to him just recently. She wanted to lease a car, but she wasn't quite sure how to do it, and she wanted the experience of a guy who owns a car to help her out. Deva also was approached by a young man who wanted to work on his resume because he's attempting to get a job, so Deva did that. And then most recently, Deva has a friend who wanted to purchase a used car. Deva has done that. He knows about taking a car to a mechanic and having it checked out, knows a mechanic that's really honest. So God worked through Deva using his gifts and talents. And then the last person I want to talk to you about is Dr. Shabazz Nassar. About a week ago, one of the young adults and I were doing some landscaping, and one of the things we were trying to do is remove some bushes. And so one of the techniques I have is standing on the stump and rocking it back and forth so it's easier to chop out. Well, I'm not as young as I used to be, so I was rocking the stump and one of the branches broke and another branch went into my leg and it started bleeding profusely and I slapped a couple of Band-Aids on it. And the young man I was working with said, Pastor, you should really go to emergency. And I'm like, no, it'll be fine. And after my sock finally filled up with blood, I thought, yeah, I probably should do something about this. But I didn't, as a typical guy wouldn't. And about 2 days later, my legs started swelling and turning red. And then I realized that I had an infection. And indeed, I went to urgent care. And Dr. Nassar helped me out. He used his gifts and talents to make me whole again. Another thing that I want to talk to you about is Deva. I remember when I first met him, after we built up a relationship, after about a month or so, I shared with him why I am a follower of Christ, knowing do well that he was a Hindu. And so I spent about an hour doing what I thought was a perfect presentation. And when I finished, he said, Pastor Mike, know that if I ever want to become a Christian, I will contact you first. The interesting thing in talking with Deva was, and I don't know if he had experience with this or if this was simply something that was shared with him by his parents and other people, but he said many times when Christians came to India, they would offer up Christ to people, but there was always a hidden cost, and that would be, we will offer you up education, we will offer you up medical care, we will offer, if you accept our Christ. And so he had kind of a tainted view of Christians. And most recently, I had the good news one morning when Dave and I go out walking each morning. One morning he shared with me that he has since become a follower of Christ. And I asked him, because I applied to Dubuque Seminary for an advanced degree, I asked him if he would write a resume, or not a resume, but a letter of recommendation for me, which he did. And I'd like to, I've slightly changed this, so it's not about me, it's about Christians in general. And he said, Christians love others, not because they want something in return, but because they are following the life of submission that Christ modeled for them. After a relationship proves to be submissive, people will trust them, and then they will love them back in return for the relationship that they have built with them. So I think Dave has really got it. Now, in today's reading, we were talking about the ancient world of the Colossians. And these Colossians, not much different than us, they longed for a community that would align their gifts and talents up with needs in their lives. And as you've heard in previous messages by Pastor Chris, the Colossians attempted to do that through a hidden knowledge-based system that combined philosophy, paganism, Judaism, Greek thought, and Christian truth. And it resulted basically in a heresy that benefited only those who had this secret head knowledge. And this resulted in a very inwardly focused relationship. Now, our world longs for a community that, once again, would align their gifts and talents up with needs in our world. And our world attempts to do this through thoughts based on emotions, a syncretism that combines feelings, the multiple gods of greed, pride, and lust, as well as one that is masked as inclusiveness, resulting in a total heresy that benefits only those who ascribe to this heart knowledge. Once again, this is an inwardly focused relationship. Through Paul, God empowered the Colossians to reevaluate their world and to seek God's perspective on what he desires and what is written in the Bible. That is, actions, service, and conduct come as a result of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. It's a spiritual head and heart knowledge that emphasizes God's desires over our human feelings, and one which combines into actions that satisfy both the giver and the receiver. This results in an outwardly focused, submissive relationship. Today, God has empowered and fueled Christians through the guidance of the Holy Spirit to become a community of believers who combine their gifts and line them up to meet the needs of our world. This spiritual head and heart language satisfies the givers as well as the receivers. This results in an outwardly focused relationship. Now, today we went through Colossians 3:1 through 4:1, and I don't know if we have that on the screen, if that would be possible, but basically I want to go through this briefly, verse by chunks of verse. Verse 1 talks about how Christians put on a new self and their earthly nature dies. In other words, they allow Christ to live in them. Not live for themselves, but allow Christ to live in them. Verses 1 and 2 emphasizes our hearts and our minds on the eternal rather than on what currently is happening or what is temporary. Verses 2 and 3 talk about we should have as little desire for the world as a dead person would. Our real world is where Christ lives. And in John 14, verses 2 and 3, it states, Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am." So we have to look at life from God's perspective and see what he desires. Verses 3 and 4, we are hidden with Christ. And that means we are concealed. We are safe with Christ. Acting now to prepare for Jesus' return. We know that God has already provided our salvation. We don't earn it. Our service and conduct are the thankful thoughts and results of our salvation. And then finally, verses 5 through 9 talk about rules for holy living. We need to stop focusing on our own desires, for they will only bring upon us God's judgment. Verse 10, Christians should experience more than feeling and knowing. We should be doing, that is, taking action. We must continually be learning and transforming. Verse 11, the Christian church should have no barriers of nationality, race, education level, wealth, religion, or between males and females. Ephesians 2, 14 through 15, and in this case, we're talking about the difference between Jews and Gentiles. For he, or Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself a new man out of the two, thus making peace. Verses 12 through 17, as Christians, we should love, forgive, have peace, be thankful, and as Jesus' representatives, we cannot simply let our feelings rule. We must act justly as we give God the glory. Verses 18 through 4:1 are rules for Christian household. Ephesians 2, 21 through 22 and 25a say, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as the church, just as Christ loved the church. So submission is having an attitude that we must mutually serve one another. Mark 8, 34 through 35 states, then he called to the crowd to him along with his disciples, and this is Jesus speaking. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. So self-fulfillment involves self-denial. In other words, happiness is not dependent upon having our own way or getting what we want. Self-denial is the willingness to consider the needs of others above our own self-interest. It's a commitment to living in relationships where the worth of all persons is valued. Jesus lived the perfect life of submission and showed us that it is the only way to find life. Submission busted apart the old stations people were assigned or chained to. It was revolutionary. Our society longs for a family of faith that submits and aligns their spiritual gifts with the needs in the world. As a family of faith, we have two choices. Ignore the needs of the world and focus on our own desires, which feels good, at least in the short run, or to submit to the will of God and to relationally meet the needs of others, which may cause us some pain and will stretch us in uncomfortable ways. As Christians, it is our duty to look around us and to see what God has already started in the neighborhood. As we survey our gifts and talents that God has loaned us, to join up with Him and for an army for First Presbyterian Church to meet the needs of those who surround us. Let it be so. Amen.